side by side at the microphone. From the green light to the speed trap, Ray Guarino and Jody calls them as they seize them, and you better believe them. Here, relevant news, biased opinion, and outright nonsense regarding every aspect of automotive culture. Gasp! It's mechanical trickery never before broadcast over FCC regulated airwaves. Thrill to the explosive tension as Ray and Joe cuss each other down track, barrel roll across the finish line, laughing at certain disasters as they shake hands with the devil. All that and so much more at high noon this Sunday on the Motormouth Radio Hour. Call in and speak live with the Wizards of Speed and the Live Feed, Ray Guarino and Joe D. Bring the whole family. Kids under 12 get in free every Sunday at noon on WHBC. Take the Hempstead Turnpike to the Meadowbrook Parkway and look for the no parking on the expressway and no express service on the parkway sign. Go right on Highway 24 to Garden City. $2 all-day parking includes pit pass.
All right, we're back. Motormouth Radio, bottom of the dial, you found us. We're live and in charge. Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer.
Hey. Sorry, I wanted to jump in.
Very good. Good to see you, Chris. With the help from our technical team, of course, we have Sean and Kim and Jim. Everybody is on board today, helping out and making this work. Motormouth Radio, Long Island's only automotive talk show, and we're going to free for all it today to steal a name from another show here in this great station. Mm-hmm. You can get in on the fun if you'd like to call us at 516-256-9510. And of course, follow us and check us out on our social platforms, Facebook, Twitter, and what's the other one? Instagram. Boy, what a mess.
Good stuff. We're off as a herd of turtles. I love this.
The other one is the web, right. Motormouth Radio on the internet, on Twitter, and on Facebook. And on Instagram, it's Joe's favorite, real underscore radio. And that's where we post pictures of things we get into during the week. And we've put a few up there this week already. Doing small work down at the shop, and things have been slow all over. But we're keeping it going, trying to keep the bones moving. You know, we're trying to. I don't know about you, Chris, but I've been going for daily walks, sometimes twice.
Just to keep myself moving. Yeah, no, that's definitely the thing to do. Keep moving. That's definitely a positive right now because we're all incredibly sedentary, except for me.
Right,
but. I have been literally standing up and working on I'm working on my wife's car. And I tell you, and I have to ask you a question about doing so, working on your wife's vehicle, because I know you do it often, and you have a backup car just in case. But I've come to realize that working on your wife's vehicle, Ray, you have a little underlying tension that happens when you work on her car. It's like I'm working on the car and I'm doing the plug, so I have the intake off the car. And she comes over to me, and it's funny because she walks very quietly when she walks up to me to the car, and she goes, "I'm like, what do you mean? I've done this before. What do you mean?" And mind you, here's the kicker: the car we have is the Mazda, the CX-9. That's her car. It's got a 3.7 V6. V6. My Explorer. The police pursuit vehicle has got a 3.7 V6. What's the coincidence here? I'm like, what are the odds? I'm looking at the motors. Ray, they're the same exact motors. Yeah. Same exact thing. So I thought to myself, self, you're going to do the plugs on one. Do the plugs on your car, because if you mess it up, okay, big deal. You messed it up. It's your car, you fix it. And I learned on my car, and now I've perfected what I've learned, and I'm using it on her car. So I'm really loaded with knowledge here, and I'm really trying to do the best job I can, and this is what I get. Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. That's it. Yeah. That's all I got. So I'm in the process of doing it now. I got the intake off the car, and I'm working on it, but there's still that underlying tension. Like I get on the plug. Now, you know, the plug has been there for between 70 and 80,000 miles. It's still an original plug. And I start to turn it, and I hear this crunching noise, crunch, crunch, crunch. And I'm like, that's not a good noise. I don't like that noise.
No.
And I start turning it, and thankfully it comes out. And thankfully the threads of the head didn't come out with it. So I had literally six attempts at just sucking in air.
Right.
Every time I got on the plug, I was like, and it would come out, spin it. All right, good. That one, number one came out. All right, number two came out. Okay.
Good. Okay, we're back. Motor Mouth Radio. We're dealing with the digital age of faux pas and mishaps here, but we'll hit the ground running. We'll get right back to where we were. I was in the middle of asking Chris if he had sprayed any penetrant into the spark plug / head interface.
Okay, well, here's what happened. I did not spray any penetrant into the chamber where the spark plug was, and I should have, but I didn't. But what I do have is a call.
Oh, good. Let's do that.
We have Tom from Massapequa.
Hi, Chris and Ray.
Hey, Tom.
It's Tom from Massapequa. I'm glad to get through the airwaves.
Yes,
it's good,
Tom,
to have you, Tom.
Yes, Tom. And Tom called at the perfect time.
Phone call.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead. Yeah, the phone call is good now compared to how we began. So, and I did hear you on the live feed, so I believe you're back. I just lowered it. I wanted to ask, guys, if you wanted to discuss it, could you tell me about the Explorer police vehicle, pursuit vehicle? I'd like to hear more on that. That sounds interesting.
Oh, my! I purchased an Explorer. It's an old Connecticut canine vehicle, of all things, and it was purchased at an auction. It's all black. It has the 3.7 Mustang V6 in it. It does not have the Ecotec, which I wanted, that twin turbo puppy, but it does have the 3.7, which makes it very quick. It's all black. It's got the spotlight on it. And I use it to haul leaves and lawn waste around. That's what I do with it.
What other upgrades does it have? Like, as far as braking, handling, I'm just curious.
Well,
my son was in police vehicles, and they had a lot of trick upgrades.
They do. This has an oil cooler. It has an oil cooler. It has.
You have a power steering cooler too.
No, it does not. The power steering is electric.
Oh, okay, good.
Yeah, it has an oil cooler and it has a trans cooler.
Right.
It has these thick Mama Luke sway bars on it that it's incredible, the suspension. It's all independent suspension. It's all-wheel drive. And what else? It's got these huge honking brakes on it. You got to see the brake pads. They were like the size of like dinner plates.
It may have bigger axles too.
It could very well.
Yeah.
It has the Mustang's V6.
That means the knuckles are different, the bearings are different, all that stuff.
Guys, one more thing. I can't hear, just so you know, for your sake, and I'll stay on if you want. Every once in a while, the word stop on the phone, okay, when Chris is speaking. So I'll stay on if you want to keep talking to work it out.
Okay.
If not, I'm going to hang up, but I'm going to ask one more question.
Sure.
What year is the vehicles that are like that, and do you want me to stay on or not?
We could dope it out. The phone thing we could dope out, so it's not a huge issue yet. But we're still working.
Oh, you're
on
good
it.
On the phone thing. Now it's good. Now
oh,
it's
okay.
Good. Right now you were yeah. Now there's no brakes right now.
The magic of technology. The Explorer is called a utility. That is the official name of it from what I know. It's called a Ford Explorer Utility, and they're produced now. You can pick up this. Mine is a 2014, but they're produced anywhere from 2013 all the way up. And there were some older models, but not as popular as these now. Ford has gotten into the police vehicle business really heavily after 2013, and from what I was reading. And they have them even now. Like, you can pick up a 15 or a 16 or a 17. Anything that's decommissioned, you can pick them up. And you pick them up in auctions, and you can find them on eBay. And there's a guy who's here by me in New Haven who deals in them. So I pick mine up from him. And yeah, it's a fine vehicle. It has the spotlight in it. It has the interior police light in it, which I like to affectionately call the sun. Because you turn it on, you get a tan. It's so bright. That's right. It's got the durable interior, which I kind of like. And it's pretty much loaded for what I need. It's got power windows. It's got power windows. It's got AM FM radio. Stab it's panels. Got air conditioning. It's got what?
Stab panels.
Okay. And just so you know, that cutout is coming back a little bit. One other question about that vehicle.
Yeah.
So it is a utility. It is a police vehicle. It was a special unit. Did it come with or without the canine?
It came with dog hair. Yeah. Lots of it.
Not surprised.
Lots of dog.
Thank you very much. Have a good one.
All right, Tom. Thanks for the call, Tom.
Take care. Bye bye.
All right. If you want to get in on this, like Tom, you can call us at 516-256-9510. So we're back on your. The reason your Mazda is so much like the Expedition is because just like my Mazda and Ford.
Right.
Partnered. And I inherited the great, well, one of the things I inherited was the great Ford design of where they put the PCV valve on the four-cylinder engine.
And where do they put the PCV valve on the four-cylinder engine?
on the engine block, sandwiched between the intake manifold and engine. So you have to remove the intake manifold off the front of the engine to get to the PCV valve.
Oh, gosh.
And I had to do that. Because a few years ago when I was having the PO171, all those lean codes, one of the common things that came up, and of course Joe was scratching his head over this too, and it was one of the few times I ever heard him say, yeah, you might as well throw the parts at it. It's not that expensive.
What?
Yeah, use Swissonomics and credit card diagnostics. And then we found out where it was. And you have to remove the intake manifold to just change the PCV hose, which they said that sometimes they would collapse. And, of course, they were fine. There was no problem. But I did see at that time when I did that, boy, the starter motor was right out in the open. As soon as you put it all back together, that starter motor disappears. So now I know how to get to that. So, yeah, those partnerships are always interesting.
Yeah, I had to laugh because speaking of PCV valves, of course, with the intake off, mine was right there. And I do something kind of strange with a PCV valve. I take them out and just simply clean them. 9 out of 10 times, you could just spray a little throttle body cleaner in there, shake it up.
Right.
And blow through it. Make sure that all the debris is out of it. And 9 out of 10 times you can get it to work, except for this time, because I yanked the PCV valve out of the car and I look in there and it's like rattling like a couple of marbles in a metal lunchbox. It's like, I'm like, oh, I can see daylight through it. I'm like,
wow.
Oh, so of course I have to call, one of the, local chain store, auto parts stores we have here in the area. And what I like about them now is that they offer curbside pickup. But what I don't like about them now is everybody knows it. So you place a phone call and it's like the first thing you hear is, hello, Advance Hold.
Yeah.
That's it. That's what you hear. 20 minutes later, you get picked up and it's like, what do you want? I forgot.
Yeah.
I want the time. I don't remember.
You guys said a web-based thing where you could put your, submit your order online.
I challenge anybody to go on the Advance website and actually have a smooth experience.
Really?
I've never on Advance website. Actually,
okay. I've used it to look stuff up, but I've never actually ordered anything.
Oh my gosh. Wow. Holy smokes. I can give you a litany of what things that just will make you want to scream going on their website. So if you have the patience, by all means, go ahead and do it. But here's the funny thing. And I guess it's because of the aggravation level. At that moment, I need the part. I need the part.
Yeah.
You don't want to start clicking, finding a store. And then you find the store, and then you have to go clicking through find your car. And then you got to go through the debris of the information of your car. And then you have to get to, is it the V VIN number? Is it the A VIN number? You're just aggravated. You need this part that you can simply walk into a store and say, give me this.
Right.
And that's the, you know, in the old days, which were only about 6 weeks ago, you could do that. But now you can't. Now you have to go online and go through this maze, this rabbit hole of a website in order to find what you need. So I always say, if that's where you're going to go, put the part down, take a deep breath like I did yesterday, because I knew this was going to happen, and just go calm and just sit down.
Right.
Zen, one with the website, nothing matters, and just get in and do it. So that's what I had to do. But yeah, it's not an easy task. And I hope that they can fix this or repair it, or even are aware of the fact that it's just a mess of a gangling of information that you have to go through. It's just incredible. But anyway,
yeah.
So I had to go get one, and I did. I drove over and picked one up. And came back, dropped it in the car because I figured, got to do that. But of course, it all takes time. Now, you know, that's an hour. You know that. Sure. You know it's an hour. So you got to get that done. So yeah. Anyway, it was one of those type of jobs. But now all I have to do is just put the intake back on the car and hope my wife doesn't come outside and go, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And that's it. And then, one time she came out, she looked at it and she went, my car. I'm like, what? What? You really have a lot of faith in me. So,
you know what? I remember when I first, you remind me of a story when years ago I bought my wife a used Grand Am. It was my niece's car.
Yeah.
And as soon as we got it, I don't remember why, but I had to take the steering wheel apart. I remember because it was the first time I had to disconnect an airbag and maybe it was for the directionals or the horn or something. So, you know, when she came out into the driveway, she took a look and the steering wheel was off. All the wires are out. The lower dash was down.
I think
column tools. And she was like, my car. I was like, that's your car. What are you doing? Just getting to know it a little better. You can't know a car until you just take the dashboard apart, you know?
So you had to take, you had to disconnect an airbag. You got more guts than brains, my son.
It's not hard. It's a yellow wire. You got to disconnect the fuse and the power, and you got to do it in the right sequence. It's not a big deal. But I tell you something. Even after doing all of that, that moment where you're in there and it's like pointed at you, you're always like.
Yeah, you're ducking.
Don't go off.
Right, you're plugging it in safe.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go to the phones if we can, if we have time, and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, guys. It's Jim.
Hey, what's doing?
What's going on, Jim?
Hey, not too bad. I was listening, Chris, I was listening to your story about having to deal with parts store websites.
Yes.
And it's funny. I had the exact opposite experience when I had to order a part for my wife's car some time ago. Wife's car needed a map sensor.
Okay.
So I go online real fast to check it out.
Yeah.
And I'm looking at prices. I'm like, wow, is this an expensive part?
Sure.
Like, list price around $160.
Mm-hmm.
So like, okay. Mm-hmm. So I go to the Advanced Auto Parts website. And all of a sudden this pop-up comes up. Hey, you can save 25% on your order. I'm like, okay,
yes.
I'll do that.
Yeah.
And then I go to order the part and like, and you can pick it up. I'm like, all right. So I actually drive over to the store. And I'm like, wait a minute, I got an idea. Because you can't get it. You can't get the discount if you go in the store.
Right.
So I whip out my smartphone,
yeah.
Go on the website with the phone, order the part, tell them, I'm going to pick it up. And they're like, okay, just wait for your email to say it's ready.
Right.
Like, okay. And I got the 25% discount.
Yeah.
Waited about 5 minutes, walked in the store, said, hi, I ordered a part online. This is, what did you order? I ordered a map sensor for a Monte Carlo.
Right.
Give me a minute. Goes out, bring it in. I walk out the door with the part, 25% less than it would normally cost anybody else.
Wow. Good job. That's cool. No, that's
thank
very
you.
Good.
Thank you very much.
Very good.
Yes.
You were able to navigate through the website unscathed pretty much. You didn't have any, it was you had an aggravation-free experience going through the website, Jim?
I had a very aggravation-free experience going through the website.
That's cool.
I used that website quite a bit to find stuff and look for stuff that I just want information on.
Okay, no, that's great. Now, if you can use the same site well, that's fine. I appreciate the counterpoint on this. That's cool because I found that it's very, to me, it's very clunky. And it was just, it was not an experience that I recommend. But if you do, that's great.
Totally, well, you know, cool. So it may be that when he did that.
One complaint I have, and this goes with most of the websites, are pop-ups. Like, hey, you can save on this. Hey, yes. Don't forget to order this. It's like, okay, thank you. I don't want that. I can go away.
Totally agree.
Hey, you guys. Yeah. You guys were also talking about police cars and, you know, because of the Caprices that, you know, Ray and I own, we were a little bit more in tune. One interesting thing, first of all, Fords have been pretty much taking over police vehicles, because if you look around, all you see are either the Tauruses,
yes,
or the Explorers, and the Explorers by way, way more. But another interesting thing is you don't see Chevrolets anymore. And the reason why is the one Chevrolet that did work out to be a police car would be the SS, and the police version was, of course, called a Caprice.
Sure.
And was the problem was is it was based on the Holden.
Right.
Now, almost all local governments now have a 10% American-made provision in their contracts. It's got to be an American-made product, or, you know, we can't buy it.
Right.
Because the Chevrolet is made in Australia, you right. can't sell it to the police department anymore.
Okay. That's a good point, but they also sell the truck, either the Blazer,
Tahoes, Tahoes. Now the Blazer is now one of their smaller things, which is like
right. No, it's not the
Blazer body type.
It's the oldest. What's the oldest body on chassis? It's the Suburban.
The Tahoe and the Suburban. Yeah.
Okay, because I know there's
Suburban's a big Tahoe.
I was in a town in Jersey, and they have all black Suburbans with the black lettering on the side, the reflective black lettering.
Oh, yeah.
Evil looking things. Boy, these things are nice. And they were all Chevys. They were all Chevys. I was very impressed by that. But I haven't seen them since. Just this like one small town in Jersey. And I haven't seen them since. Like you say, Jim, the Fords have been getting into the police business, basically, and have been aggressively going for that market, which is great. Which is great. And I've been very pleased with this truck. It's been very good to me. It's not as fast as my Charger was, but it is but it hauls leaves better than my Charger.
So off road though.
Yeah, right.
Well, if you need a leaf hauler.
Great.
All right.
Jim, well, thanks so much for the call, Jim. We'll talk to you soon. Bye bye.
All right, thanks. Take care.
All right. So long. Yes, very good.
Very good. Yes, 516-256-9510 is the phone right. number to get a hold of us here at Motormouth Radio. Right. Yes. So pulling out an airbag, Ray, is definitely a gutsy move, if you ask me. I still haven't had the tenacity to such a thing.
Well, you'll have to one of these days. And like I said, you follow the instructions, it's not that big of a deal. Mm-hmm. Unless it's a Takata one that may go off at any second. And then
right, and you get hit with shrapnel. Hey, you know what? When we come back, I know because we're going to be coming down to the bottom of the hour. When we come back, I want to talk to you about something I like to call automotive karma.
Okay.
Automotive karma is something that I found recently that has been very interesting. It's that thing that comes out and like bites you in the butt. That's basically the way I'm looking at it. And I want to, if we have nothing else to talk about, that is something that I would like to touch on.
Yeah. I have something to talk about with insurance. I thought I had about insurance companies and a nice little, side attribute that shops may be picking up because of this whole lockdown thing. But yeah, we'll do that. So we're going to let's take our bottom of the hour breaks.
Okay.
We'll do that now. And we'll be back in a couple minutes with more Motormouth Radio with your hosts, Ray Guarino and Chris Switzer. We'll be at 516-256-9510 when we come back. So keep it where you got it. Oh, damn. You see, I got to hang on. I gotta make my screen big or else it won't work. Keep it where you got it. We'll be back with you on 90.3 WHPC. This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside, who remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose the shop where you have your car fixed. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, including 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with rental car arrangements if needed. We're considered an essential business and are still open, providing touchless drop-off and pickup services. And yes, se habla español. More information information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.
Shake off the realities of the day, broaden your musical horizons, and embrace the diversity every Monday afternoon at 5 for 2 hours of Revelations. The show offers a potently unique collection of music with an emphasis on themes and rock rarities. An occasional tour de force of blues and soul mixed with compelling sets of folk and folk rock. I'm Steve Kay, and I've got the perfect soundtrack for your drive home every Monday afternoon at 5. On Revelations, right here on the voice of Nassau Community College, 90.3 WHPC.
All righty, and we're back with Motor Mouth Radio. Your hosts, Ray Guarino, Chris Switzer. We're talking about all sorts of automotive stuff today. And Chris, when we left, you left us with some automotive karma.
Automotive karma. I've come to realize, Ray, now we've known each other a long time. You have been my longtime radio colleague, and you know the brand of vehicle I do not like. Which is it?
The question is, which one is it?
Yes, which brand do I not like?
You know, you've had problems with a lot of brands. Like Joe, a lot of the German ones, like BMWs and Mercedes, for different reasons. Mm-hmm. You actually almost had a love affair with the Saab until Joe talked you out of it, so that was good. Where is the vitriol pointing today?
Audi.
At an Audi, yeah. There you are. It's the cousin, yeah. The BMW,
yes.
Audi, yeah. Porsche.
Audis. I've never, for some reason, and it's nothing that I've made up on my own. I didn't come up with this. It's just a matter of just collecting all the theories and collecting all the information. And I've come to realize that Audis are a vehicle that you purchase when you can't afford a BMW. And I've realized about this, like every time I talk to someone that owns an A4 or owns an A6, they never own another one. It's almost in the same category as like an Alfa Romeo. You never own another Alfa Romeo. You just never do.
Down here, I got I've worked on a bunch of them. Not many fours, but sixes and eights. Mm-hmm. There's guys that, through the shop, that own them, and the one guy is on, I think, his third. But this, you got to see, this guy treats this car like a bastard stepchild. I mean, he drives it into curbs. He drives it like it's a Chevette. He keeps the interior clean, but the outside. And I tell you something, working on them, I've talked about it many times on the show, how there's some challenges working on those cars.
Yes.
But yeah. What is it that's got your ire up about?
Well, I think about it this way. When you look for a BMW, you look for a 3 Series, Audi has an A. Four.
Right.
And BMW has their 5 Series. Audi has an A6.
Yeah, right.
And then you look for your 7 Series BMW, but Audi has an A8.
You figured that out, huh?
Figured that out all by myself. In the shower, no less. But anyway.
All right, Copernicus.
So there's an individual across the street from me that has one of those clapped out Volkswagen Golfs. Now he's an up and coming professional individual in his 20s or early 30s. So a little tiny Sonic colored small wheeled Golf was probably something he had when he was single. He's now married. He's got a dog. He's got a house. He probably has a mortgage, blah, blah, blah. And he seems to be some sort of up and coming professional. I don't know what he does for a living, but all of a sudden, what shows up in the driveway is an A4.
Wow.
Late model.
Early 2000s, maybe.
Yeah, 2014, 2015, A4. Shows up in the driveway. Then the next thing you know, he likes the car because the wheels change. Now he's got new wheels on it. Ooh, yeah. Right? So now he's got the clapped out Golf and he's got the nice looking A4. Cool. I got it. All right. He wants to take the wife out on a nice date. He doesn't want to use the loud, obnoxious Volkswagen. He uses the A4. Good. Okay. Great. Now I open up my bedroom window and look out, out of the street. And you know what he has?
A TT. Yeah.
A rolling blob of an Audi, as far as I'm concerned. One of these things. I mean, they told in the early 2000s when the car came out, they said it was a design tour de force. It was one of those.
Yeah, the next best thing. Yeah.
Right. You know what? It's a rolling jelly bean. Now I open up. I got an A4 across the street. I have a TT and I have a clapped out VMW, clapped out Volkswagen. And I'm like, automotive karma. Yeah. has bitten me in the can. I mean, he's probably looking at me. He sees this old jukebox of a Chrysler come rolling out of the garage. He's going, "Hey, look at that old man car."
Right.
Look at that guy. He should be. He should. You know. You should have a walker in the back of that car.
It's like the people across from me who have three Mercedes and an Audi. It basically diverts the criminals over there instead of your cars, most likely, for resale. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, well, so I had a laugh. I'm like, automotive karma has bitten me in the butt once again.
Right.
So it's like living across the street from someone that collects minivans. I mean, it's just like, oh, yeah. I got to open up my window and stare at that.
So let me tell you how the pandemic has maybe some karma for shops.
Oh, okay.
I was listening this morning, to the radio, and there was an insurance company. I forget which one it was. One of the majors. They're all doing it. How they're saying how since people are driving less and not having accidents, they're giving back money. We've discussed this already.
Yes.
Actually, we got money back. My daughter got money back. So that's a good thing.
Yeah, I did too.
Yeah.
Actually did too. Yeah.
And it made me start thinking. And I know that, at Mike's shop, since I'm down there working on the Chevelle, they have a lot less work because there's less accidents. So,
sure.
And guys aren't working. There's a smaller crew and, there's that issue to deal with. But my thought on that is this is the perfect time to go to the body shop. And what it's only because I've had this happen to me once or twice already. Everybody's car gets a little stale. It gets a little, even if you clean your car, wash it, wax it, clean the interior. Over years, it just gets a little stale. Your car is never better than when it comes back from a body shop for any kind of – because they detail it for you.
Okay, yeah, sure.
And I've said this to myself, and I don't do it. Like, I should bring the car to a body shop just once a year and just have them detail it, like in the spring. And now is the perfect time because they're very slow. And
sure.
That means the detailer may be able to come in one day and do some work,
No, it makes a lot of sense.
It's also another good way, like if you've dealt with the shop before, it's a good way to keep in touch with them. We always talk about keeping in touch with our parts guys and whatnot.
Right.
If there's a shop in your town, maybe you're new to town, it's a good way to check out a shop, and detailing isn't that expensive. I mean, it's usually $100 a quart, $150, $200 tops if you have an SUV or something. And, unless your car's a rolling waste pit,
garbage trowel.
Yeah, but I tell you, it's a good way to get to know the shop. It'll keep someone working. You'll never be happier with your car in your life. Like I said, the best way to keep a car is try to sell it. Because what you do is, what do? You clean it to sell it. Wow, this car is pretty nice.
Ray, that the first thing I do when I want to put a car up for sale, the first thing I do is clean it. Like you say, within an inch of its life, you clean it. You clean every little speck has got to come out of that car, because there's nothing that's more discouraging than when you're looking at a car to buy and there's like Snapple bottles in there, or there's boxes in there, or there's old French fries in there. It's like, if you know that's how you keep the car. Then how did you maintain it?
Exactly.
So that's always the first thing to do is clean the car first before you even put it up for sale. You're right. And I love when people open up the driver's door and they look and go, "Wow, this car is so clean. Oh my gosh, you must take care of it so well." Yeah. Maybe.
Right.
But no, that's definitely a good idea. I always think if you want to find out a good body shop, talk to someone with teenage kids.
Oh yeah.
I needed a body shop recommendation once, and it was the first thing I did, and they said, "Mention my name," because he had like three teenage kids. Like, "Mention my name."
Very true.
Yeah, so
very true. You can also mention our name if you call 516-256-9510. The phone screener will be happy to talk to you and take your call.
Oh yeah,
put you in touch with the Motor Mouse.
So, yeah, the phone screener. That's what I'm called now. That's it. And you know what? I'm loving the technology. I think that this is wonderful that we can do this and sit down and have a discussion and about cars and about people and about karma and just go back and forth and still keep this show rolling.
Even though maybe a quarter of it didn't hit the airwaves today.
Right. But that's the thing. You know, we knew this was going to happen. We knew that somewhere along the line there was going to be a ghost in the machine, and we knew that it was going to be a problem. You know what? We just deal with it. And I love the fact that we get calls. You know, our callers call us up and say, "You're off the air." So, right. Okay, thanks.
Exactly.
Thank you. You know, it was funny when I was a disc jockey. Many times you were broadcasting in a closet. You were in a room with no windows, so you were saying, "Hey, bright and sunny skies today." You know, be talking out around the mid-70s. You look outside and it's a torrential downpour, and people call you up and they would say things like that. They go, "You know, it's raining, dummy."
Right.
You know, it's like, "Oh, let me get up and go over to the door and take a look." So, so it is true. When you're off the air, you don't know it. We're still yammering away.
Oh yeah, yeah, right. So we've done that before. You know, the other thing I wanted to mention was now with Mike's car, we're getting to the end. He's driven the Chevelle. He's took it out and he drove it around, drove it home, and took it to the
shop.
Had the tips brought. Yeah, we're getting to that. You know, he's to that part, the fleshing out part, but. Now we're finding that a lot of the parts that we had bought and installed are not really working right. But we have something else going on here that's going to be even more important. So we're going to get to that in just a second.
Let's go to the phones. Let's go to the fun and say hi. You're on with the Motormouths.
Hey, it's Al Handy from New Jersey. How are you guys?
Hey Al, how are you?
Hey, Al, how are you?
Whoop.
All right, there
you are. Hey, how's things going?
Doing well. How are you?
All right, I got some questions on parking sensors.
Sensors, go ahead.
Can you hear me now?
Yes.
Come on, Al.
Okay. I took the bumper off my truck, and I replaced it with a different one, and now only the left side parking sensors are not working.
Now, what kind of sensor is that? What is it sensing? Is it a proximity sensor? Is it a camera? What is it?
That makes sense to you guys?
Well, what kind of sensor
is it? I have no
idea. Wow, this is really strange. Getting all kinds of crazy noises on the phone.
Yeah, we're trying to adjust our levels, but go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's okay. It's a 2018 Dodge Ram 2500. I dented the rear bumper, so I decided to replace it. So when I replaced the bumper, I took the sensors out, of course. And then when I put them back in, the left side's not working anymore.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
It keeps telling me to wipe the sensors down, and then it shuts it down completely.
You know, like with any other sensor, any other computer thing, Al, it's... there's always a possibility that the part failed. You know, that's always in what you can do. If you can get in there and swap the right to the left, like that's what we do with, you know, coils and injectors. You put the good one, a bad one, and you see if the problem follows, then you know it's a bad part. The other way to do it, which of course is what Joe would say, would be to use a scan tool because it's probably controlled through a body control module somewhere. And you want to see if you have a data stream, if there's sometimes pins, you know, on a plug, even though they're very good these days, sometimes a pin moves a little bit and doesn't contact correctly on a reinstall. And the scanner will tell you that. It'll tell you if there's no data coming from the sensor or no reference signal going to it. So that's the high tech way of doing it. But I don't know if you're going to have a sensor scanner that would do that.
Okay.
But like I said, you know, swap them right to left.
I have to get myself a body computer then.
You know, it's kind of expensive.
No, I don't. I'd have to get one.
But, you know, if you can find a shop, somebody that has one that can just run the scan. But what about swapping right to left? Just swap the sensors and see if the problem follows. Then you know you got a bad part, a bad sensor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. Did you try that first?
Yeah, no pun intended.
Makes a lot of sensors.
Exactly.
Yeah, well, I swapped the sensors from the front to the back, and it still didn't work.
Now, okay. The first thing I think of, which is kind of crazy, but I've been trained now to think of the stupid stuff. The fronts and the rears may be different parts. For, you know, you say, why would a front and rear sensor be different?
Yes.
I've seen crazier things happen. That's what I was saying, that the right and left in the rear, they're both rear sensors. So the calibration may be different. You know, I couldn't explain to you why, although that it could be. You know,
right.
And that's how you have to dope it out.
But the rear sensor works in the front.
It does. Okay, so when you put the rear one to the front, wait, was that the bad rear one worked in the front? I don't know. I lost them there.
Yeah. Try it again, Ray. Ask him again.
Al, was it the non-working rear sensor?
Bad sensor on the left I put in the front, and they worked fine.
Okay, but the sensor on the right did not work on the front. Correct? Because if that's the case, then you could. That's another step to damning the sensor. So, yeah.
I didn't try the right side because they were working. They would actually give me signal. It's only the left side back that doesn't work.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought it was the right side that didn't work. Okay, so the non-working left rear sensor worked in the front, I think. Did you get that, Chris? I think that's what I said.
I think I need a scorecard.
Yeah. Because then the left front sensor did not work in
right.
the rear.
The left side that didn't work in the back worked fine in the front.
And what happened with the front sensor when it went to the back? Did that work or not work? I'm guessing it didn't. And if it didn't, then we're not looking at the sensor. We're looking at the wiring or the signal transmission to and from the sensor.
Right.
It did not work.
Okay. So the problem isn't the sensor. You've done that test. The problem is not the sensor. The problem is either in a module that controls it or the data stream, the wires. Yeah. Now it's going to be a little bit more of a battle.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah, you need a scanner. You got to have a body scanner that can scan the body, the BCM, and look into that.
Right. I assumed I broke the wire, so I ordered a new harness for it. It was cheap enough.
Okay.
And you didn't put that in yet? I guess he didn't, because we wouldn't know if it worked or not.
Right.
So, yeah. This is what it's like working on new cars.
No, not yet. It's coming in Monday.
Okay. Well, you know what? You got to do that first before we know anything else. So keep us in touch. If you need information during the week, get a hold of us offline, and then I'll see if I can get you some info on that. Any more diagnostic info once you put that harness in if it does not work.
Sounds good.
Okay.
Al, thank you so much for the call. All right, Al.
Thanks, Al. We'll get you hooked up.
All right. Thank you, guys.
We'll talk to you soon. Thanks.
Now that's something I could probably put through the guys at the body shop and see if they can get some information on that, because that's what they deal with all the time.
But it was a nice way to diagnose it first, to swap them out and check the results.
Always. Yeah. I said, it's like coils and stuff. You know? But, you know, that's a new truck with new parts. The thing I want to mention was, like, with the Chevelle, there's a lot of stuff that have been bought for the car, like starter, alternator, carburetor, bumpers, all sorts of stuff. And now we're finding that certain parts aren't working right because they looked good, but they, like the starter last summer, it was making a god awful grinding noise. And it looked beautiful, beautiful looking starter, had a Delco or had a Remy sticker on it.
Ooh.
To make you think it was Delco Remy. No.
Oh.
It was a Remy sticker.
Ah, that's hysterical.
And it was painted like a Delco starter, black and silver. I took it apart. Everything looked good. The components were good. The field coils were good. The armature was fine. The brushes were new. But the bushing on the back hat was – on the back cover was old. And the front bushing – I have pictures of this – was literally half worn away. I had to take my old starters out of my stock and take the bushing out.
I would think that the starter would have a misalignment problem. So you have to shim it up.
Well, that too. It was making all sorts of god-awful noises. So Mike just had the starter changed. They put in another starter when they had it at the exhaust shop. We just had the alternator taken off and tested yesterday because it wasn't charging.
Right.
Ended up being a regulator. It was a bad regulator, so we changed that. Now the carburetor's giving us fits. I had taken it apart. You know, I'm looking up, went to look up the specs for this Quadrajet, and, you know, the numbers are on the side of the carburetor. And you go to look them up in the book. Well, you look it up in the book and say, okay, now you look at the carburetor to find a number. They were filed off.
What?
And I said to Mike, I said, what is this, like a hot gun? 45? It's like someone filed the numbers off the carburetor. Why in the world would you do that? If anybody knows or can even have a guess, let me know, because it defies all logic.
Well, how did he acquire the carburetor? Was it in a parking lot at like 5 a.m.? Where did he get the carb from?
I know you would think, no, he bought it. I guess he bought it from some online place, you know, some guy online. You know, I don't remember exactly where, because he got that a while ago. And I said, this thing is, you know, when I took it apart, there was parts of it that were epoxied. So I went through it. And now, you know, we couldn't get the car to, you couldn't get the mixture screws to work right. You get idle adjustment. But it's running really rich. We finally determined, you know what, off, he's going to buy a new carburetor. So,
okay.
So that's stuff he's buying. You know, now that's stuff he's buying two and three times, that stuff you would have had to buy once, that now is an issue. So
I agree. Yeah, now is really a crucial time for taking a look at parts quality and seeing what – I mean, I had the same problem with that float. I thought the float was bad in the Chrysler, and when I got the new float, I measured it. That was the first thing I did. It wasn't like I assumed it was good like the old one and just dropped it in the tank and filled it and moved forward. No, I had to take it out of the box and measure it and make sure that it did what it was supposed to do before I dropped it in the car. No, very much so. It's now I'm sure that the next starter is going to get bench tested, or the next alternator is going to get measured with a meter. It's I don't know how you would check a carburetor though.
No, you know what? It basically comes down to what we talk about. It's the state of aftermarket parts. Where are they coming from? Who's doing it? So, like I've always said, because I mean, I lived it. Use your local guy. You know, we had the local alternator rebuilder come down. He came down yesterday and picked the stuff up, went back to his shop, bench tested it, and then sold Mike. The alternator was good. So he sold him the correct solid state regulator that he needed, because now this is where, you know, I've been out of the rebuilding game for a while. He explained to us that up until the mid-70s, they used a 3-amp rotor in the alternators, the GM rotors, GM alternators. After that, they went to a 5-amp rotor. So now what happens is, if in, you know, since these alternators are older now, everything gets mismatched. So if you have a 5-amp rotor in an older alternator, what will happen is it doesn't always play nice with the mechanical regulator, with the points.
Got it.
Not only will you have radio noise, which Mike said he had a ton of radio noise, you'll get inconsistent charging. So really, the matter was just swap it out, put in a solid-state regulator. I told the guy, I said, yeah, that's why I put a 12SI alternator in my car. And he gave me that knowing, sly look. He goes, oh, I'm like, well, yeah, you know. And 12SI just means it's an integral regulator, which is solid state, you know.
Okay.
Because if you don't mind that the alternator looks different, I'm like, nope, painted it black like everything else. It looks the same as everything else. I said, look, it's all about function over form at that point for me.
Right.
You know, and now I have a rock solid charging system and I'm happy with it. So these are the things that people that don't know what's going on when they're restoring a car are faced with.
Sure.
And man, I'm starting to see now that the hobby is getting more and more intense and harder to deal with. And more costly in a lot of cases.
I agree. I mean, we're dealing with cars that are 50 years old. I still have a hard time wrapping a thought around that. It's a 50-year-old car.
Oh, yeah.
When we were kids, 50-year-old cars were cars in their 30s. And I crack up, because you would never be caught dead driving to a high school or even go into a store in a car from the 30s. Those cars were instantly like just, you know, garage queens and car show cars then.
Yeah, when I was in high school, the 50-year-old car was from the 20s. And I actually knew a couple guys at the time who drove 30s cars, but hot rods, you know, street rods.
Yeah.
So they were kind of like above the curve because they were kind of cool. But yeah, I mean, even at the time, like, that's why like our drivers were 50s cars, you know, and early 60s cars. You didn't think that anybody having a 61 whatever mobile, you know.
Sure.
You just
exactly. And that's what cracks me up, because we're now acquiring the cards of our youth.
Right.
And we're old. So I got guys like, you know, my neighbor across the street that sees that Chrysler come out of the garage and go, God, look at that old car. Holy right. smokes. You know, look at that old crunchy old thing. Exactly. So it's where you're coming from. But yeah, I certainly see the intensity of the hobby and where it's going. And it's right. getting harder and harder, or more and more expensive to purchase parts for these cars. And I even like, I look at like a GM vehicle, like I look at your GTO and I go, it is put together.
Oh, yes. This is going to be a quickie because we're going to have.
Yeah. Let's go to the phones real quick. Go to the fun. Say hi, you're on with the Motor Mouths.
Hey, it's Tom from Massapequa again.
Hi, Tom.
Hey, I have a question. Alexa Lower. Any way you could get Joe D to do a cameo, a pre-recorded cameo for next week's show? We'd love to hear what he has to say about the rotor situation. Not the rotor, the rear sensor situation.
Joe is on it right now. In fact, Tom, Joe is on it. He's been communicating with me that he's already working on that. Yes.
Hello.
Yeah.
Yeah. Did you hear that? I don't know if you heard that, Tom. Joe is working on it even as we speak. So hopefully.
Oh, awesome. Awesome.
Yeah.
And the other thing I wanted to share with you guys, I think Ray made Radio Magic there. It sounded like a 2020 version of Abbott and Costello, who's on first with the senses. So go, Ray. I mean, that could be a hilarious clip going viral within the interweb.
Yeah, that's what happens when the caller can't hear the co-hosts. That's what happens.
Well, did you hear?
And another shout out to Celebrity Chase Collision. They've done me right in the past. Have a wonderful day, guys.
Thanks, Tom.
Right.
Take care. Bye bye.
You know, we put up a Spotify survey. Our web guy put up a survey to see if people, what they think about Spotify and how. I know it was. I saw it on social media. I saw it on Twitter. And maybe Instagram. I think it should be on the website, although I just looked at the website and didn't see it. So I just asked him where it is. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we were running a Spotify channel with all the songs, the music that I typically play in the studio. Right. And we just want to see. Oh, there we go. You know, if you go to the homepage, it's on the homepage. You'll see the Spotify list. I'm not seeing the survey, though. And this way, we just want to see, get the sense of the body and see what people think.
Yeah, that's great. Head over to the website, motormouthradio.com.
Facebook and Twitter. You'll find it on either one of those. And and just fill it out and let us know what you think. And, you know, because it's not a matter of being a big deal, but if people aren't using it, we're not, you know, we'll just, you know, we'll divert our efforts somewhere else.
No, very true. And that's what we like to talk about with Webmaster. It's what gets thrown to the wall and sticks.
Exactly.
So we're always looking for your questions and comments. It's always a welcome, right. welcome site.
I'll tell you what's not sticking. Us. We're going to get out of here.
Okay.
Chris, we'll be back next week to do this again. So for Chris Switzer, Ray Guarino is saying, signing out. Chris, what do we always say?
Don't follow the karma home.
Right. On Motor Mouth Radio, 90.3 WHPC. See you next week.
Bye-bye.
This show on 90.3 WHPC is brought to you by CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision, with two locations in Lynbrook and Oceanside. We remind you that New York State law says you always have the right to choose the shop where you have your car fixed. CarStar Celebrity Chase Collision offers a full range of services, including 24-hour towing between Montauk and Manhattan, shuttle service, and they can help you with rental car arrangements if needed. We're considered an essential business and are still open, providing touchless drop-off and pickup services. And yes, se habla español. More information is available by calling 516-593-0920 or online at celebritychasecollision.com.